good to see you guys today. Good looking group. But I love you equally as much as I love First Service. Kent's not here anymore, is he? Yeah, you guys looked way better. All right. Just kidding. All right, with that being said, today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there as we'll be just looking at a few verses. Many people come to the faith many different ways. We all have a different story of our faith journey. Some of them are similar, but we all have our own. Sometimes it comes through a series of different events. Some of you came up in a church through a family who just didn't miss any Sunday whatsoever. And so if the church doors were open, you were there even on a cleaning day, and it was planted early into your life. And then some of you came later in life through various means. Maybe it was being invited to a small group or a pool party. Maybe it was you were searching for a deeper meaning in life. And in many of the cases I've walked through some of these stories with, some of you have come at a time when you were just absolutely lost and broken and just wanting some sort of answer for why things were happening the way they were happening. And so I know in this church group body alone and all the churches I've served, there's a lot of rich stories. But even within just this group of believers here, God has impacted your life. And I love when I hear those stories. I love getting those, because as a pastor, when I don't hear those stories, you know what goes through this head of mine? It's very simple. I wonder if I'm making an impact. So please tell me your stories. Tell me how God's impacting you. Because I've been on the receiving end when I hear those stories, and it just fills me up. I cherish each one of them. But what I find most amazing is out of all the stories that I've heard, out of all the journeys through faith that I've seen, I've heard also an awful lot of people who have a misunderstanding of what God is like, who He is, prior to their even coming to faith in Him. And truth be told, some of them, even after they come into the faith, still have a false identity to who God is. I mean, who He really is. Many people think of the word Christianity as not doing something bad so that way God will like you. And when He likes you, He will bless you. And so let me tell you, this is not truth, but you hear it. Heaven is for good people. Hell is for bad people. Let me clarify. You're all bad people. Okay? We're all bad people. So if that's the theory, we deserve hell, which Scripture actually says we deserve hell. So that being said, if heaven is for good people, then there's a couple dudes I know there. That's about it. And I read about them every Sunday. So that is what we would call false. One, it's not biblical. We keep on sinning, right? So if we continue to sin and that's bad, then what do we deserve? Remember what I said last week, and I want to make sure you remember this, and if you weren't here, you need to hear this now. Here's what I said. Oftentimes, we try to associate changing our behavior to being good, or bad behavior means we're bad, but behavior modification says, I control me. You remember that? I'm in charge of me. So if I change my behavior, it's because of something that I have done. I've got this. This is all my ball game. Regeneration, though, being born again in Jesus Christ, that is where Jesus changes you, and He changes you from the inside out. It points to your need for God in order to be able to follow this new life that has been born into you. Regeneration allows God to mold us to what He sees us to be, not to what you see yourself to be. If I did what I thought I was supposed to do, I wouldn't be standing here today. It would look nothing like this, and I wouldn't know probably any of your stories. See, it takes a life of striving and asking God, show me who You see me to be. And sometimes it's absolutely terrifying, because He will. But sometimes when that comes to this place, we find ourselves saying, okay, if I'm going to continue to follow God and follow His ways, then that means I have to be perfect. And if I mess up, then I've fallen off the wagon and I'm starting from scratch. Let me go ahead and fix that for you. You're going to fall and you're going to fail if you haven't figured that out. And if you think you haven't, you've already fallen. But God's going to continue to be the one who comes alongside of you, and He's the one that restores. Amen. And he's the one that resets. And he's the one that refocuses. And when we come to a life that says, oh, I messed up again. But we have this change inside of us that says, but I know I can go to the throne of grace and repent once again, and he will see me as white as snow. Man, that is saying, God, take these reins over in my life. Now, we're going to address this again at the end. When we are in control and we try to modify how we behave, I told you last week, we don't stand a chance. Okay? Has there ever been a sin pattern in your life that just continues to trip you up? Yeah, it's confession time. Let's hear them. I'm just kidding. All right. You know it's wrong, but you just keep returning to it. And if you look close enough, you'll find that you're trying to modify your behavior. I want to quit doing this, so I'm going to quit doing this, and I'm going to wear something that makes me stop doing it, or somebody has permission to tell me to stop doing it. All the while, somehow along the way, we forgot to invite God into the process. One preacher said it this way. I love this quote. He says, behavior modification is like mowing dandelions. You can mow over dandelions. Your lawn will look good for most of the day. But even by the end of the day, and often within a couple of days, the dandelions have popped back up again because you didn't address what? The root. Ah, see, I gave you the answer. It's right there. The root. Oh, you listen to Jenny cheating over here. All right, so this is the same way with behavior modification. We're treating a surface problem, and we are not treating the root. The root of the problem is centered around the heart. And if we're not treating our heart, the root, then we're going to continue to see it pop up. Sometimes and oftentimes in new ways. Look, if you are an addict, maybe an addict to alcohol, your primary problem is not the alcohol. It is not being an alcoholic. It is a lack of self-control. That's the root of the problem. See, you can modify the drinking. You can do that all you want, but if you do not address the root issue of self-control, the alcohol problem comes back, but oftentimes it looks different. It comes back in a self-control issue. It resurfaces with smoking or overeating or taking painkillers. I mean, it can come back in so many different ways. So therein lies the problem for all of us. We are bent towards sin. Derek, don't tell me that. I'm a lover of God. I believe in God. But his word just keeps telling us, folks. We are bent towards sin, meaning that we lean into the very things that oppose God all the time. And then when we try to modify or change those things and not the root, we keep doing it at the surface, we are asking for more trouble down the road. So what is the answer then, Pastor? How do we address the heart then? I'm not a surgeon. And I think Solomon did a pretty good job of helping us see that today. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. He's still speaking to his son. He's encouraging them to address the root of all things and keeping him to walk in wisdom. So let's begin looking at verse 20. He says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight and keep them within your heart. Very similar to last week's opening. For they are the life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look differently forward and your gaze be straightforward before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Would you guys just join me for a moment and ask God to bless us with his presence? Lord, we thank you for being here today, and we just ask for you, Holy Spirit, to intercede in many different areas. God, there is so much distraction in our lives that encountering you sometimes just seems like another thing we have to do. God, would you remove the distractions so that we can encounter you today? Lord, help us press through the muck and the mire. And help us to engage your word. And may it change us, Lord. May we not give this world a reason to continue to want to call us hypocrites, but let them be able to look at us as changed. It's people who are in love with you. Flawed, but grace-filled and in love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to address the root. We're going to address the sin issue. We're going to look from the heart level, the root level, closely. And then hopefully, I hope you will do this, that you'll implement these three practices consistently to help you alleviate the sin and allow God to transform you from the inside out. So the first practice that we must implement is to listen carefully. Listen carefully. So in those first few verses, Solomon's appealing to his son to take these teachings that he has given him over the years and to embrace them. And if you remember, I told you about this last week. Now remember, this isn't Solomon's wisdom. This isn't sitting back in the recliner on a Sunday afternoon and saying, son, this is what I've learned about in life and this is what I did. And when I played football, it wasn't like that. This is the words of God that he has been implanting and speaking and reading to his son over and over and over in this young man's life. How many of you grew up with some good sound wisdom? Look, I know some of us didn't. But how many of you grew up with some good sound wisdom? Because when I say that, you know it, right? You remember, you can even hear those words being spoken to you. And even though sometimes you battled against that good sound wisdom, guess where it breathed itself back into your life? When you spoke it to your kids. Or when you spoke it to your friends, or when you spoke it to your neighbor, or when you spoke it into somebody that needed to hear it at that time, you used to battle against it, and all of a sudden now you're speaking it, right? It stays with you. We lean into those things that we grew up with, and oftentimes we apply them to our lives as we go forth. Solomon, however, is coming from a different angle. Listen to what he says in 21:22 again. He says, do not, he's talking about these things that he's taught his son, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are the life. They are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. He's reminding them, look, the words where I've screwed up as a dad, don't listen to that, but this is what you need to hear. I want to remind you that this is the word of God. I'm teaching you what he's saying. He's telling him that that's wisdom. Wisdom is a process of receiving, hear this, wisdom is the process of receiving the right words and listening to the right voice. It's receiving the right words and it is listening. See, my boy will receive a lot of words, even the right ones. He doesn't always apply. I will receive a lot of right words. But I don't always apply. And so what he's doing here in this moment is he is saying, look, I have instructed you with everything that I could possibly instruct you with that you know needs to be applicable in your life. But that's kind of where the line is drawn. At this point, son, this is you to take it forward. Parents, this is important for you to do. Instruct well. But just as much as instructing well is there, live well. Our kids are more prone to listen to what they trust, even if it's bad. That got your attention, because they are more prone to follow what they trust. If you're not helping them to trust the words of God and you're not living out the words of God, then how in the world are they ever, ever, ever going to learn to trust God? Because I'll tell you the alternative. When we're not listening carefully to the word of God, we're not discerning well. See, because we get influence, don't we? Man, oh man. I threw on my Greta Van Fleet record yesterday. Man, it's good. It influences me. I love that jam. I'm listening to it. I say, oh, man, they sound just like Led Zeppelin. Oh, I remember Led Zeppelin. And I find myself going out the garage. I got to get my Led Zeppelin albums out. And I'm putting out, oh, that's good. I'm influenced. Right? It's a part of me. It takes me back to good memories from my childhood growing up. I love all these things. And look, I'm not knocking them. But look. We're influenced by songs and movies and shows and books and peers and neighbors and coworkers and parents and family members. They all speak into our lives. A lot of them speak good things. Greta Van Fleet, good stuff. But there's a lot of junk out there, isn't there? Oh my gosh, it either is going to direct you in a path that leads you to the King or confuse you in your relationship with the King. Because what I'm learning more and more is those things try to tell me what to do and how to think and what decisions will be wise. It can be anything from what product you put in your hair to what relationships you should pursue. And then you start arguing with things that you really don't have any room to argue with, but you do it anyway because it was on social media and it made you mad, right? Oh, man, they are so wrong. Why are they wrong? I have no clue. But I'm battling. Look, you either confirm God's teaching or you confuse what you actually believe. You know how I know this is true? You know how you know this is true? Man, is our world not just a little bit messed up? You can be a non-believer and sit back and you can go, what? I'm so confused. There's the word, confused. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in this life. As a believer, you're going to fail as much as anybody else. But his word and his teaching really needs to be the final say and authority in the matters of your life. Even when it doesn't feel like that's what you want to do. And the more you draw close to those, the more you lean into his truth, the more you study this truth, the more you are likely to see that your heart is being led astray and that your heart is confused. And it's not about pointing the finger and saying, you're right, you're right, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's about listening to what he says. This is why it's so important for us to pay close attention to the message that we allow our ears to hear. See, if you really want to obey the word of God and live in godly wisdom, then you must protect that heart. The second practice that we must implement, and these last two will go pretty quick, gang, is to allowing God to change us from the inside out. And that is to protect our hearts vigilantly. I had to practice saying that word a whole bunch this week. It's so funny. It's one of those words that just trips me up. So you're getting the byproduct of me going vigilantly, vigilantly, villager. It was messed up week. There's this verse in Proverbs that I think it kind of sums up all of Proverbs, but it definitely, without a doubt, it sums up life pretty well. Above all else, he says in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart is the centerpiece, or command center, if you want. And the way that you live, and when I say live, meaning the way that you act and talk and think, it kind of flows out of what we store up inside of us. And so this is why we must be vigilant in protecting it. The problems really arise when we who are prone to sin, anybody here a sinner, we who are prone to sin continue to store up the wrong things in our hearts. Scripture defines that your heart will lead you astray. Oh my goodness. So when I say, how many of you have heard it? I'm going to follow my heart on this one. And it's led you astray. Or, I trust my feelings. And it's led you astray. Let me tell you, trusting your feelings, that's just stupid. And here's why. And I can only say that for one reason. I've tripped myself up too many times over it. When the root is bad, the behavior and the decisions and the thoughts follow suit. Every single time. There is never a time when I've done some counseling with people where something has really gone astray and they look back and they said, no, we've done it all the right way. And we trusted God all the way through this. It never looks like that. Because I don't get those people in my office. Every time when my marriage starts to struggle, every time when my relationship with my son starts to get burdened, you don't ever find me going, man, no, we're doing it all the right way. I am a pastor. So I know we're doing it right. No. It typically starts with following my own feeling. Right? Look what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or just make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And then he gets intense. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaks. He's talking to a group of people, Pharisees, who continue to say, God is good, God is good, God loves, and all these things. But then they just treat not just Jesus, but everybody that is outside their way of thinking like dirt. Oh, preach, right? The good person, out of his good treasure, he says, brings forth good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth what? Evil. And I tell you, on the day of judgment, people, this one rocked me to my core this week. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every, and at that point in my brain, I automatically go to this, will give an account for everything they do. Oh, okay, I just read on past it. No, give an account for every careless word. Uh-oh, that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. See, what Solomon is telling his son, and really what Jesus is telling us, is be vigilant in protecting and guarding your heart so that doesn't have to be it for you. Because when you leave it unguarded, what happens? It is penetrated by the very thing aiming to destroy you. Your behavior actually reveals the state of your heart. Outward gossip reveals that you probably have some jealousy and bitterness or pride in your heart. Maybe your money problems can be tracked back to this place of uncontentment in your life where you're not content with God in your heart. Maybe the lies that you tell people repeatedly over and over reveal the insecurity in your heart and your need and desire to worship others because you desire them to think differently about you. So you see, the key to guarding your heart is to not keep a hold of it for yourself to control, but it is to give it to God and to allow him to control. And we are control freaks, and we don't want to let him control it, but we want to call him God, and we want the benefits of God, but we don't want him to really have an impact in our lives. And that's the world we live in today. It's why 87% of Americans say, I am a believer. And our world is a jacked up mess. It is God who restores. It is God who gives a new heart. It is Jesus who gives you a new appetite. So as Jesus changes you from the inside out, guard what you allow into that heart of yours for real lasting change to happen in your life. And it's a lifelong struggle. I have been a believer for 22 years. In 22 years, I have done so much sin. And I have been so judgmental, and I have been mean, and I have been vindictive, and I find myself no longer just concerned and angry and bitter all the time. Those times I find myself going to the cross and saying, well, you know what's going on, God. I'm sick of this. And he says, yeah, I bet you are. I've been watching you for a while. But I redeem. And I restore. And while you haven't been vigilant in protecting yourself, son, I have been protecting you. Oh, man, that's a good truth. So it brings us to the last practice that we must implement consistently. Allowing God to change us from the inside out is to look at the core, the heart, constantly. For some people, that's crazy, right? If you are a parent in here today, think back to your first child, your very first child. And if you're a second child or a third child in here, I ain't saying you're not worth anything. But when we have that first, right? Man, I didn't hear them breathe right. And you're in that room and you're watching them. He just breathed 24 times in a minute. Normally it's 25. Right? Something trips you up just a little bit. People walk into your house. We just talked about this earlier. That first kid comes along and, you know, it's like you have to go through a process. You have to get pre-approved. The government has to be involved. Then, you know, background check, please. Okay, now you may hold him or her. Second child comes along. I need you to hold him or her because I'm trying to keep this one from being disruptive. Third one comes along. Just don't let him die, right? That's where we kind of get in life. All right. We look constantly for a reason, right? Because we want to make sure. We want to make sure that they're protected. It's why parents don't ever get to stop being parents. It's why your 83-year-old grandmother will continue to talk to your 50-something-year-old mom and say, "You still struggling with this?" Right? Why? They constantly check on you for a reason. And I remember my history teacher, Stanley Crawford. He addressed my behavior one day, and he did it so proper. He knew he could have called me out in front of everybody in that classroom. But he said something to me, and I'm going to give you the direct quote that has stuck with me now 30 years. 30 years he said this, 30 years ago. Trying to argue with him that I was not as bad as he was making me out to be. He didn't make me out to be anything, but I was battling with myself. And he said, and I quote, "Your actions reveal your heart, Mr. Slack." How do you argue that? You can't argue that, right? I mean, you can try. Solomon says basically the same thing to his son, verse 24 through 27. "Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths before your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." Solomon tells his son, put away that devious speech. Put away that perversity, right? I mean, it's a command of good behavior. But notice what he said prior to that. You remember that at the beginning of our message? Hold close to the things I've taught you, meaning what God's taught you. Because you're only going to be able to obey these things if you're guarding that heart of yours, if you're protecting it, if you're constantly looking. You must have a new heart in order to have regeneration. And there's only one that gives it. And he is the King of Kings. And if you want a life that's bending towards God more than it is bending towards sin, then I think it's important to reemphasize this over and over and over and over. I got to keep looking. I got to keep evaluating. Because you will never, ever be perfect in this life. And if any of you think you're better than someone else, wrong. You are just as messed up as me or any other story in this room. The only thing that really binds us together is God's grace is big enough to cover it all. As messed up as we will remain, as messed up as we will continue to do, His love and grace endures forever. But don't you think there should be some sort of change in us? Don't you think there should be something different in pointing us or pointing out to the world that God has changed something in us? That it is, even though it's taking forever, a lifelong process, even though it seems to be, here I am 22 years, I'm still struggling with things from 22 years ago, but it looks different. I'm not constantly submitting. Sometimes I crave, but I don't submit. That's something different for me to see. See, if you're not looking at the core of your heart, then you're losing sight of the fact that you're losing pursuit of your King. And honestly, you need to know when your heart's not right. And if you're going to ask yourself, your heart will deceive you. But if you ask the King, He will heal you. See, when you look and see the speech and actions of your life are not showing God being present in you, then you're showing the rest of the world that very same thing. No matter what you think, change must take place at the root. It is free. It's why Jesus said, "Come to me as you are. All you who are worried and burdened and heavy laden, just come. Come like that. You can come at me cussing. Come. Because I restore, I heal, I fix." So change has to take place at the root. That means freely letting God lead, not changing some sort of behavior in you. The message of the believer to the rest of the world is not, look at how I have changed. But I am born again in Jesus, and He alone is continuing to change and restore and empower me. Amen? So let me go ahead and tell you something, because I bet some of you, I will include myself in this one. I have just gone through a very weary past couple of months. It weighed me down. It was burdensome to come in here on Sunday morning and smile and to be joy-filled and to want to be a pastor. Now, I used to have people that would come alongside of me and they would say, "Get it together. You represent God." The best advice I heard during this last 2 months was this. It's okay, Derek, to not be okay. You know how awesome that was to hear? You think he left it there? Mm-mm. And he followed up within a couple of seconds. You just can't stay there. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to be a mess. It's okay to have times. Look, I remember fighting with this girl about her faith because she had a question of unbelief, and I was so scared that what I thought is she was going to walk away. What I realized is I was scared that God wasn't big enough to keep her from walking away. Oh, man. It's okay. It is okay because God is the one that restores, not me. It's okay because God is the one that heals. It's okay because God's the one that reveals himself to you. It's okay to not be okay. Just don't live in that not okay. So this morning, this is what we're going to do. I said this the first service, and I think this is the most appropriate thing to say to you when it is quiet and nothing but the noises that surround us. No music, no band playing. When that's all that you hear, and you're asking God to speak to you, it's in the quiet. He is so incredibly loud. It's in the still that He is so incredibly loud. It's in the place where you don't feel comfortable because there's not enough to distract from what you don't want to deal with. Man, He will speak into that. And there are many of you right now with that sitting story in this room. And I'm not going to tell you how to deal with it, because I don't heal or restore. He does. But I firmly believe that He is speaking to you. And you need to start probing yourself with these questions. Do I have a new heart? God, do I have a new heart? Have I really allowed you to take the reins of my life? God, what do my struggles reveal about my heart? And then when you feel all yucky inside, here's beauty. Ask Jesus to change you at the root. Because He can, and He will. That's always a promise. And that King has never broken a promise. And I don't expect He's going to do that today. And however He works in your life, however He impacts you, please, for the love of everything that is good in this world, share that. Share it with someone. Your stories impact the world, but they are meaningless when you hold them inside. Man. So, God's going to call out to some of you today, and I believe that your response will be your response. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, what that looks like. Maybe you need to hang out and pray afterwards, and maybe it's as simple as this. You need to go home. Maybe you have some things you need to talk with your spouse about or your kids about, or maybe you just need to come to a place where you just need some silence. Because the world's been speaking way too much into that brain of yours. But let's take a moment just to listen to God, and then we're going to close out with some prayer and some worship and give Him glory.
Lord, I have a feeling that you've been pretty loud in this quiet. And Lord, I've only seen through these years of ministry and being a believer, you do this 1,000 times over. And yet, I know I haven't even begun to see the plethora of what you've done billions and billions of times over throughout the years. Just as we heard earlier in the video, you're listening to me right now. You gave me breath, food, existence. You're speaking and talking with and listening to me. Lord, may we respond to you today in a way that not only shows that we are humbled by your truth and your word, we are in pursuit of you. Let us be all in, forever changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.